The Theater Institute at Sage will present a stage reading of the rarely produced play Greenwood, An American Dream Destroyed by Celeste Bedford Walker. The reading is directed by Lenny Godfrey, the inaugural artist of the Scrimshaw Distinguished Visiting Artist Fund. Godfrey, an actress, singer, director, and producer based in New York City, is at Sage for a week-long residency thanks to the generous support of the fund established by the Sage College's president, Susan Scrimshaw. Greenwood, An American Dream Destroyed, is a drama that tells the story of events surrounding the 1921 race disaster in Greenwood, Oklahoma. Greenwood, the premier black boomtown of its era, was referred to as the Negro Wall Street and had successfully achieved complete economic independence from its neighbor, Tulsa. That all ended when 14 blocks of the town were burned down in one night. Following the progress, success, joy, and prosperity of the township of Greenwood, and eventually the story of its demise. Here to tell us more are the aforementioned director, Lenny Godfrey, and Theater Institute at Sage Artistic Director, Lee Strimbeck. Welcome to you both. It's a delight to have you both here.
Well, thank you so very much.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Always a pleasure. So let us begin with you, Lee, as to how all of this came about.
Well, it came about because Lenny Godfrey has worked in our area before with the New York State Theater Institute, and we are always looking for opportunities for our students to be challenged and to learn more. And someone recommended highly Lenny Godfrey to me. I gave her a call, and we talked about various projects, and we came up with this master class and reading of Greenwood. And Lenny just finished teaching the master class yesterday, despite the storm.
Yes.
And it was fantastic for our students to work with new people. We want to challenge them all the time.
So what is a Lenny masterclass consist of? What is that like?
Well, this one was abbreviated a bit because Mother Nature had its way with us. Mm-hmm. But usually it requires the students to come in with a prepared piece, a song, monologue, or both, and then we work on that. I present them with a scene that they will work on. Basically, they are there to see how they can fine-tune something that they've been working on that would be good for an audition professionally. So it's to get them from the school level of performance to a professional level of performance.
And I assume you like what you saw.
Oh, they did a lovely job. The first day, if you don't mind,
Joe. Not at all.
The first day, they presented me with things. And some of them, you know, the selection that young students make, you have to be very careful. They will bring you things where they're 40 years old. And I always tell them, you're going to be 40, but you're not 40 now. You got time to be old. You know, so nobody's going to hire you to be 40 years old. Bring me something that is close to where you are. And they did their homework on the snow day that we had to have. Mm-hmm. And came back with pieces that were very close to them, and it was just magnificent. They were lovely, just lovely.
Mm-hmm. You have to be a little proud of that, Lee, as you watch all of that.
I feel like, you know, I sat in the back of the theater, and I do feel quite maternal at moments like that. You know, that these are our kids, these are our guys, and to see them up there taking a risk, and also knowing the preparation they did, mm-hmm. Because it's all about showing up and doing the work, and nothing happens without that. And I am very proud. I'm very proud of our students.
Also, you know, they allowed me the ability to create an area of trust, and that's very important between students of all kinds, adults and teenagers, that you have an area where people are safe to fail. And they don't think that they always have to be perfect. In fact, there were a couple of people who had pieces that there was nothing else for them to do. So I sent them back and I said, bring me something you've never done before so you can learn something. And they did that beautifully. So it was an area where everyone was safe. That's the director, I believe, that's the director's job to protect their actors.
And then despite the snowstorm, 8 actors arrived last night and the rehearsals for the reading began.
Yes, from New York City.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the reading. This, as I mentioned in the introduction, is a rarely done work. Why,
yes, it is.
Why is that the case?
Well, it started off, Celeste Bedford Walker, who wrote it, started off as a scene for a church. And then a friend of hers, Michael Green, took it to New York City. And for a couple of years, it just kind of rolled around there in a workshop form. It wasn't until I discovered it and they approached me with it that we really finished it. So it's only really been finished for about 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the actors who will be doing this, they've done it before or no?
Some of them, a couple of them. We've only done it once before.
Okay.
Okay, in New York and in Pennsylvania. So I think we only have three actors who have done it before. The rest of the actors, we have four actors from Troy, one student from Sage that auditioned and got in, and three adult actors. And the other actors are from New York City, all from Broadway, off-Broadway television and film.
I was typing up their bios, and I was getting more excited by the minute. The credits are amazing.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. They're great. I don't say a lot. I have to work with them. The heads, can't let the heads get too big.
Well, I'll say it because I'm sitting there like a fangirl, you know, watching rehearsals. So.
You know, I'm a little person, so I have to say I'm a little piece of leather, but I'm well put together. You know, so I have to control
I'm
them.
Stealing
you know?
That quote.
That's a great quote. I do have a feeling you can pull it off better than most people. Let me ask you the story itself of what it says and ultimately the story that it tells.
This is a story about people that we don't see often. In the theater, in film, in television, in the media, it's about people who have gained a lot of wealth, who people of color, people of mixed heritage, some of them were African Americans, blacks, and Indians. They settled on oil-rich land, and they were very wealthy. And it was in the Reconstruction period. So these people were of the party of Lincoln. They were Republicans. And what they did was they celebrated it. They went to Paris. They went to Europe. They lived fine. They came to New York. They saw the theater. So you catch them in the midst of their lives, And then this incident happens. And the justification of the incident, that's another thing that we question. Was there really an incident? Or was this an opportunity just to acquire that land, which the people of Greenwood never got back again? Mm. There was an ordinance after the land was bombed because there were planes that were filled with dynamite, ultimately, that were dropped on this land. Once it was bombed, an ordinance was written that prevented those people from coming back and rebuilding. It said that you could not rebuild on burnt land. So the land, we believe, was the impetus for all of this destruction.
And I feel like I ask this question a lot in this program, but it fascinates me of why some of these stories become such a part of our national history, and other stories just sort of blow away.
Yes.
Tissue in the wind.
It was hidden. In fact, in Oklahoma, they just passed the ordinance last year that it was required to be taught in their schools. The people who it happened to, the people who also were descendants of people who executed this, said that they did not want, especially the victims of it, they did not want to talk about it because they were afraid it might happen to them again.
Wow.
So there was fear. There was a lot of fear. And then at one point, I believe the mayor of Tulsa was 18 years old before her parents even, and was a female, her parents even told her the story. So I don't know what the background was. Maybe it was shame. Maybe they didn't want anybody to question their motives. I don't know, but it never made it into the books. There are a lot of stories that we are unearthing now, and it's just going to be a part of the American fabric of our history. That's it. We have to accept it and go on and learn from it, Joe. That's the thing. We really have to learn from what we don't know now, and that will make us understand each other even more. Our history gives the impression that there were no successful rich black people. Mm-hmm. If there were, very few. There were 58 boom towns. And these were towns that were all run by people of color very well. Funeral homes, churches, banks, airports, ambulances, hospitals, everything. That's not in our history. And when you put it in the history, then the whole significance of racism starts to erode, because you can't say that you're not worth anything when you see all of those achievements. So the point of it is to erode that racist kind of look and to say, no, we are a people of dignity. We people who have descended from those people who came from Africa, those of us who are genuine people who of American descent that have American African extraction, we have accomplished a great deal here. And you will not tell us that we're not worth anything, because we are.
That's beautiful. When you think of those other boom towns, did I mean, obviously, this is an extraordinary circumstance, but did they suffer similar
most
fates?
Most of them, Rosewood, most of them did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were destroyed. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm. Yes.
So how do you want audiences to embrace something like this and to think about it as they watch the eight actors up there on stage?
I want 12 actors, actually.
12, okay.
Yes.
12.
Yes, yes, eight came from New York and the other
okay.
four.
Yes,
I want them to come and be open, to know that it's not done to make anyone feel bad. It's done for information, to make us understand one another better, to reestablish a vision of who we are, the people of color are, and who they are, and where we sit in history together. That there is an equal history sharing process here that we're establishing. I think that's very important. And so I want them to come and laugh and enjoy and cry, because it's all of that. All of that is in the play. You know, we have a really good time, and we do some singing and we do some playing around, and then disaster strikes, and that's life. So we want them to share in our life.
And we at the Theater Institute at Sage, we believe that we're building communities every time we bring an audience together in a room. So
sure.
We're going to build, you know, Friday night at 7 o'clock for the reading and Saturday at 2:00. There's going to be a community coming together to share something. And I fervently believe we need that now more than ever.
Yes. And so come, fill up the theater, everyone.
Now, you're going to be directing. Are you going to be on stage as well?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, thank God.
Isn't he sweet?
I feel like I have to spend more time with you. You seem like a lot of fun.
I told you he was sweet.
Oh, I have, you know, I just have a great love and passion for what I do. And this is one of the things that I do. And I've been blessed to be able to do it with people who I like. You know?
And coming, and I assume you seem as the great joy comes in working with the young people.
Oh, yes. You know, I told them at the end, they were thanking me for the class, but I thanked them because it renews my passion for what I do when I pass it on to them. I think the responsibility of those of us who are over 35.
I don't know who you're talking
yeah.
about.
I don't know.
We all played the fifth.
Yes. We have to give back. Some people will be receptive. Some won't. But those who are receptive, we give back to them and help them kind of take their hand and lead them on it. And it helps us. It helps narrowing that generation gap that we have.
In the 30 seconds we have left, Lee, what else is brewing for the Theater Institute?
Oh, my goodness. We have Radiance coming up, a play about Madame Curie. We have a musical for children in June called Freckle-Faced Strawberry. And in July, our new musical that was a world premiere last year, Backbeard,
yes.
The hairiest pirate in the world, has been accepted into the New York Music Theater Festival. And our students will be in New York City performing a brand new musical.
Wonderful.
Is that enough for you, Joe?
That is enough for me. That'll keep me going and ensures that you'll be back to tell us more of what's happening. The Theater Institute at Sage presents a stage reading of Greenwood, An American Dream Destroyed, in the Meter Little Theater at the Russell Sage Campus in Troy, New York, on Friday, March 17th at 7, Saturday the 18th at 2. For more information, visit sage.edu/theater. sage.edu/theater. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Lenny and Lee, I want to thank you so much for being with us. What a delight to have you both here.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Joe. I just wanted to add that it's free, but you should call for reservations.
Okay.
It's a free event.
Free, call for reservations, and you can find the phone number on the website, which is sage.edu/theater.
Correct.
Excellent. Lenny and Lee, you're both a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.